Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You know, my message is, it's on a theme that I believe is the most powerful theme in all of Scripture. Because, you know, there was one event in all of history that actually split time. BC, before Christ, AD, which is the year of the Lord. And that is the cross. It actually split time as we know it. And what happened on that occasion transformed the entire universe. The entire universe for all eternity was forever changed. But what I want us to go tonight, I want us to look at one aspect of that. I want us to look at the power of the blood. The power of the blood. And once we honour the blood, anything can happen here tonight. I can tell you anything. I remember one time in my life, a few years ago, I was actually preparing and I was listening to a message on the blood. And when I got up, I was on my bed just reading. When I got up, I was actually slain in the spirit on the side of my bed. I'm like, wow, because I can tell you, this is the power of the blood of Jesus. What happened at the cross, do we really understand it? Do we really get it? Do we really, really get what happened at the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus? As Chrissy said, I'm a psychologist. Well, I was. Back in the day, I no longer practice in that field, but my concern in the body of Christ now, today, is that I think I've seen a trading of what is power and authority, which is the power of the blood, for eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? It's not bad knowledge, but there's no life in it. If there was life in psychology, and I'm not saying that it's wrong to go to a, you know, Christian psychologist. I'm one. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if that was the answer, I wouldn't have got saved. I wouldn't have got saved because I couldn't find release for my own life in that. So I think the Lord is saying, you know what? You know, there are more Christians going to psychologists now than any time at all, ever. I'm astounded, right? And why? I'm all for people getting the help and the support, and often it can be an incredible part of your journey. But I tell you what, there is no substitute for the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. No substitute, none whatsoever, because everything you will need for all eternity was purchased by the blood of Jesus. It is the legal basis for all victory. The legal basis for all victory. And I believe tonight, I'm asking the Lord for a full encounter, that we fully understand the power of the blood. The power of the blood. So let's start. Father, I'm just asking that you to anoint me to deliver your word. Lord, that I can say what you want me to say. Lord, uninhibited, that you would just take my words and you would activate, your spirit would ride in on our hearts and we would be forever changed. And Lord, we would go to a deeper understanding of what it means, the power of the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus, your blood, Lord. We thank you, Father. We open up our hearts to receive from you and you alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start with a really familiar story. And it's the story of when God wanted to deliver his people, the Israelites, from Egypt. And most of you know that story. It's very familiar. But God instructed every family to take a lamb, to kill that lamb, and to apply the blood on the door. So I want to start with Exodus 12:13. And New Living says, when I see the blood. I will pass over you, and the plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now, they were very specific instructions. All right, number one, you were to stay inside the house under the blood. Stay inside the house. That in and of itself is a prophetic word right there for many of you. You've got to stay in under the blood. You go wandering out over here, you know, you're in the enemy's camp. All right, you've got to stay in under the house. All right, you were to kill a lamb. But what the Lord asked is that he wanted them to bring that lamb into the house for a period of time and to actually let it be around the whole family. So it became a family pet. So that when that lamb was slaughtered, there was some emotion involved. There was some passion because there's a cost to redemption. There's a cost to redemption. All right? Then they were to drain the blood out of that lamb into a basin. Then they would take hyssop. Now, hyssop was a weed. It was an everyday, ordinary weed found everywhere, symbolic of humility. They were to dip the hyssop into the blood, and they were to put it on the top and on the sides of the door. The top and the sides of the door, symbolic of what? The cross of Jesus, because he was going to live this out. Exactly this scene, he was going to live it out when he went to the cross. So they were to put the blood on the door. They were to put the blood, not on the floor, because no one tramples over the blood of Jesus. No one. They were to put the blood on the door. When I was praying about this message, the Holy Spirit said, numbers of your people, of my people here tonight, you've applied the blood to salvation, but there's still blood in the basin. You haven't applied it to other areas of your life. It's still in the basin. It's time tonight to get it out of the basin and apply the blood of Jesus. We've got to apply the blood of Jesus. Because I want you to picture now, just close your eyes for a moment and picture Jesus. Honestly, picture, he's gone from Gethsemane where he's sweating, it says, like tears of blood. Right? He's gone from that to having his face bashed, to having his beard ripped out, to having a crown of thorns, such long, horrible, vicious thorns they were, probably some of them 6 inches long, thrust into his head. They beat him. They ripped flesh off him with a cat and nine tails. They put nails, not nails as we know them, great, huge, thick nails through his hands and his feet. He was nothing but bloodied from head to toe. Then when he finally died, they stuck a sword in the side of him and blood and water gushed out. That was the sacrifice that our God made, and he wants us to apply that blood, that precious blood that cost him everything, to every part of our life, every part of everything and everyone that we have authority over, because it's so precious and it's so valuable. So I want to now to jump to Revelations 12, 10 to 11. Actually, I can't remember if it's 10 or 11, hopefully. Someone on the, it's come up, scripture. Okay, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, who is they? They are the committed Christians, right? They are the committed, fully committed Christians, overcomers, are not half-hearted Christians. They are fully committed Christians who frankly don't care if they live or die. Because if you any soldier will tell you the most fearsome opponent is someone that doesn't care if you take their life or not. They'll do anything. That's what God is calling us to. You young people, are you ready? Are you ready? I can feel it. You are ready to be that committed to your Lord and Saviour. All right? That's what it says, that overcomers, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life to the death. And what I used to think is that that was actually two things. There was the word of our testimony. So there was the blood and there was the word of the testimony. So, you know, and that is certainly true. Every time you testify to anything that God has done, that is an incredible attack against the enemy. But that's not exactly what that scripture means. What that scripture actually means, according to Derek Prince, who I've studied for the last 3 weeks on this topic, said this. What it actually means is that we overcome every attack of Satan when we declare out of our mouths what the word said the blood of Jesus has done. When we declare out of our mouths what the word of God, the living, active word of God says that the blood does for us, when we start declaring that, nothing can stand against that in hell. Nothing can come against that. It is that powerful. And I want us to actually do some spiritual warfare tonight as we go through. And as we start to talk about the power of the blood, we're going to start to make some confessions. Because can I just ask you this? Those of you who are saved in this room, how did you get saved? Believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. Those two things were powerful enough to get you moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God. Right? That's what you've got to understand. Believe in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Confess it with your mouth. We're going to start to confess some of the things about the blood tonight. And I tell you what, all hell is going to shudder because you guys are going to be set free. We're going to be set free tonight. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now I've lost my place. Okay. All right. Because when you are, and we're going to go through some words to make sure we all understand what the blood has done, because that's what gives the words power when you understand it, right? Otherwise, it's just superstition. You're saying something that you don't actually understand. No, tonight you've got to understand it. We're all going to get it and we're going to say it with a newfound authority because I get this. I'm going to declare this. You know, I feel, and Chrissy and I have spoken, but there's a whole army in this room of young men and women of God who are committed Christians, who are going to be prepared to whatever it takes, they're going to do it. And I tell you what, when you've got these truths and you've got the power of the blood and you understand what you can declare, I tell you what, all of hell shudders. All of hell shudders. Because, you know, that's the whole thing about the power of the blood. This is not a superstitious formula. It is not, pleading the blood is not begging. It is applying. It is applying. Okay, so what has the blood done? What's it done for us? So let's start with one. You were redeemed. You were redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean? What does redeemed mean? It means to buy back. All right? You were completely owned and controlled by the enemy. He could do whatever he wanted with your life. And for many of us, that's exactly what he did. All right? Jesus Christ goes in. And he pays for your life with his blood. His blood. He goes into the slave market and he says, I want her and I want him and I want her and I want him. And he paid for our lives with his blood. You came out of the control of the Satan. Satan has no control over you. That's what redeemed means. Satan has no control. I have been redeemed because I am forgiven. My sin was paid for by blood. All right, what does that mean? Let's go further. All right, it means you are incredibly valuable. You are precious because you were bought with the blood of Jesus. That makes you the most expensive commodity on the face of the earth. You are so precious. Don't ever forget that, the way you treat your body. You are purchased with blood, right? It means you are owned by Jesus. You are not under the control of the demonic anymore. Those of you who have thought that, wrong theology. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He bought me back. Enemy has no control over me. Right? You may have to learn some new patterns of behavior. So, for example, if you've got a bad temper, all right, the enemy will say, see, I've got still got control over you. You can't control your temper. You tell him, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I may have to learn some new patterns, but you can't control me. You don't own me. You have no authority over me. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm also forgiven. I'm completely and utterly forgiven. Now, some of you in this room, as I was praying, the Lord said, they know that, Debbie, but they can't forgive themselves. So whoever that is, and there could be numbers of you in that room, this room tonight, Jesus paid for your life with his blood. The sin that you did, right, as bad as it is, it seems to you, was paid for by Jesus' blood. You can't add to that. There's nothing you can do. You accept that and you say, thank you, Jesus. All right? And then you say, okay, I'm going to agree with what he did. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. I'm sorry, Lord, that I thought that I should add to it or somehow have to atone for it. No. Or somehow have to pay the price. No. I can't add to it. So I accept now the forgiveness that you gave me. I accept it. Amen? Amen. I already can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, the one thing that terrifies the demonic when you start to talk about being redeemed by the blood, what he hates it, it separates off those that he can control from those that he can't, right? Because if you know that you've been bought by the blood of Jesus and you are not under the control of the enemy, he cannot control you. He cannot control you, right? And that's the truth, right? You have also been redeemed from every generational curse. Right? You've been redeemed. He bought you back. He took you out of your family line. Whatever generational curse came down. Right? You look in your family line, you think, oh, they're all divorced. Or they're all poor. Or they're all, you know, got heart attacks. Or they all had, you know, adulterous relationships. You are not part of that anymore. You were cut out of that. Galatians 3:13, Jesus took the curse, became the curse. When he hung on the cross, that's it. You are redeemed. You are not under the curse anymore. I don't care what your family tree looked like. You're now grafted into the true vine. Right? Unless Jesus had a heart attack, you don't have to. Okay? You don't have to. You're not in that tree anymore. You're not in that. It cannot touch you. So some of you have got to hear that, because I know and I sense in my spirit there's a fear that you're going to become, and you've even said it, you're going to become like your father, like your mother. That's a lie from hell. You've been redeemed. Amen? You've been redeemed. Okay, now Psalm 107:2 says this, let the redeemed of the Lord, I want to hear it louder. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He who has been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So it's time for us to do some spiritual warfare. All right, let's go. I want you to make it personal. I want you to think of areas where you have believed the lie that you've been controlled in some way by the enemy. And I want you to start to declare right? We are now pleading the blood. This is what we're doing. We're pleading the blood. And I tell you what, all of heaven pays attention when you start to speak about the blood of Jesus. All of heaven witnesses what you are about to do now. Every angel in heaven is activated because they know their assignment. They know their assignment over your life. Right? So I'll say it first and then we're all going to say it together. All right? And I want you to stand in honor of the word, in honor of the blood of Jesus, in honor of what he's done for us, okay? So my confession, our confession, I say it first, through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed out of the hands of Satan. And every generational curse over me is broken. Okay, again, through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed out of the hands of Satan. And every generational curse over me is broken. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take your seats. Take your seats. Kind of see what that's happened is it gets the hyssop and it puts the blood where it needs to be. Now, you've done that and we've done it, but now I want you in your own time to declare you've been redeemed, your business has been redeemed, your health has been redeemed, your ministry has been redeemed. Anything else that you think the enemy's had a field day with has been redeemed if it's under your authority, okay? That's your job. Now, just a little sideline that the Holy Spirit, I just love this, got me to mention. You know when the Egyptians were killing the lamb, the Lord asked them to kill one lamb per household, not one lamb per person. You know why? Because it's always God's idea that the whole family would be saved. Those of you, right, I want you to stand if you've got a family, like kids or parents or someone in your immediate family that is not serving the Lord. Stand. Okay, so it's God's idea that the whole family would be saved, right? With the jailer, what happened? The jailer and his whole family were saved. When Rahab, way back, let the spies into the land of Jericho, you know, she said, I want, and she put a scarlet thread, right? She asked not just for her life, the life of her entire family be saved. Was it granted? It was. It was. So what you are doing is you are going to apply the blood of Jesus to your entire family line. All right? The perfect sacrifice was not just a lamb. It was the Lamb of God. All right? So I want you to say on the count of three these words. Right? Whatever your family name is. Mine is Prescott. The Prescott family line is under the blood of Jesus. All right, on the count of three, whatever your family line is, whatever family line is under the blood of Jesus, right? And I can tell you now, when you start to do warfare like this, you wait and see what happens. You just wait and see, okay? On the count of three, one, two, three. The Prescott family line is under the blood of Jesus. Come on, more. Keep saying it louder so that all of hell can hear it. Under the blood of Jesus. The family line is under the blood of Jesus. Hello. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, send your angels now to go out and collect them and bring them home. Bring them home. Bring them under the blood, Father. Activate your angels to go wherever they are. Father, give them dreams. Give them dreams. Give them encounters with you. Father, put Christians across their path. Father, bring up into their minds scriptures that they've heard. Because, Father, we declare us and our household are saved. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's keep going. Or will we hear or not? Okay. Number two, I am protected. Exodus 12:13, which is what I start off with. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague of death will not touch you. when I strike the land. God did not pay for your life. Jesus did not pay for your life, get you out of the control of Satan and then leave you on your own. That is not his way. That is not his way. Do you know if the blood of a lamb could stop the angel of death, how much more one drop of the blood of Jesus? But it's time for you guys to apply it. Apply the blood to your home. Apply the blood to your car. Apply the blood to every family member every day. Those of you who are fathers in this house, put your hands up. If you're a father in this house, all right, whose job was it to put the blood on the door? Whose blood, whose job was it? The father's job to put the blood on the door. Every day, declare the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ over your family. Every day, every day. My daughter's here and she would testify and tell you, you know, we plead the blood of Jesus all the time. Draw a bloodline around our family, around our property. You know, we were in an area at one time that had, you know, those yellow signs and to warn you of different things. Next door, in front of the next property, which was a vacant block, it had one of those things, was a snake on it, right? Warning people that there were snakes everywhere in the area, where we, right where we lived. All right, do you know my husband drew a bloodline around the whole house, walked around the whole block, just declared the power of the blood of Jesus. Do you know there were found snakes in it? Our neighbours had snakes. This side had snakes. My own daughter saw a snake at the other side of our house boundary down the bottom. Not one snake on our property. Not one. Not one. Now, this is real and we've got to start to get the blood out of the basin and apply it. Apply it. All right, our confession is, I am completely protected by the blood of Jesus. Right, I want you to say it now. I am completely protected by the blood of Jesus. I also felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you know, the blood, the angel of death flew, moved over at night. And I felt the Holy Spirit say that some of you, you know, you've got family members in a really dark place, or maybe you've been in a dark place and you've been really quite fearful of them. But do you know what? God could see the blood on the door in the night. No matter where they are, the blood of Jesus speaks. The blood of Jesus will protect them. You know, I remember back in my counseling days, when this woman, I was convinced when she walked out of my door, she was going to suicide. I just knew it. And I pleaded the blood of Jesus over her. I just, Lord Jesus, I cover her with your precious blood. I bind that spirit of suicide. But the blood of Jesus Christ is all over her. Her husband, told me 2 days later, that she had thought of suiciding and she was going over a bridge and she was going to run the car into the river. But she said something stopped her and she never did it. You know what it was? The blood. It was the blood. Amen. Okay, let's move on. I am cleansed. I am cleansed. 1 John 1:7, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, past, present, future. Not just what you did, but everything that was done to you. Your body, your mind, your emotions, your will are cleansed by the blood. The sting of it, the effect of it, the control of it, the shame of it, the guilt of it is cleansed by the blood. It is cleansed by the blood. I want to give you a very quick testimony, and I've shared it before, but I was a victim of childhood sexual abuse, not from my family, but from a neighbour and who sexually abused me at 7 for a very long period of time, and he ended up going to jail as a result of it, but I was in my own jail from then on until I got saved. But even after I was saved for many, many years, I believed that I was free, But I couldn't feel clean. I just didn't feel clean. Until one day I was praying and I was studying the blood. I studied everything about the blood. And the Holy Spirit took me to the verse where it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And it always worried me, that verse, because I'm like, Lord, how can I present myself to you? Because how? And it was like he suddenly said to me, because I've cleansed you. What sort of sacrifice was acceptable to me? A completely clean sacrifice. The only thing that can clean you, Debbie, is the blood. Suddenly I realized I was clean, completely clean. I know some of you have been through horrendous things, not just things you've done, but things that have been done to you. You are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all sin, all sin, all sin. We are under the blood. We are cleansed by the blood. As I say that, let it wash over you. You are cleansed. You are clean. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin. From all sin. Thank you, Jesus. I am completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Can you say that with me? I am completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I want you to say it again because it's I can feel the Holy Spirit saying again, I am completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I want you to feel that blood washing over you now, washing over you. Every part of your body, every part of your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit is clean. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 4, I am justified. What does that mean? Justified. Romans 5:9, since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Justified is a legal term and it's incredibly powerful. It means acquitted. It means not guilty. It means just as if I'd never sinned. You now are seen by God as if you have never done a thing wrong in your life. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This amazing transference that happens. This amazing transference. God became my sin for me. He became my sin. He died in my place. He took the full punishment of my stuff. And then he says to me, in exchange, I'm just not going to say you're not guilty. I'm just not going to say, you know, you're forgiven. I'm going to say, I'm going to give you my righteousness. You are now righteous. It's like you've never sinned. So when you pray to God, he treats you as if Jesus is bringing a petition to him. That's how he sees you. You are justified. You are no longer under God's judgment. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that some of you feel and you believe this lie that you cannot, because of what you've done, you cannot be blessed the same as other people. You cannot be blessed the same as other people. And when things go wrong, in your head, you're being punished by God. That is a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. The blood does not say that. The blood says you are justified. The blood said it's like you've never sinned. You are justified. The wrath of God was taken on Jesus. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father's face was turned from his one and only precious Son. Because he couldn't stand to look on the sin that was destroying your life. The sin that was destroying your life, he turned his face from so that he could turn his face toward you and say, you know what? After this, you are justified. The wrath of God fell on Jesus. He is not punishing you. No matter what happens, right? If you do stupid stuff, sometimes, you know, you're going to have to bear the consequences of stupid. You know, God, you run back to Jesus. He washes you, he forgives you, and he fixes it up. But do not believe the lie that he is punishing you. Do not believe that you're a second-class Christian because of what you've done. You are justified as if you've never sinned. Amen? Amen. So let's declare it. Let's declare it. By the blood of Jesus, I'm justified, acquitted, not guilty, made righteous, and treated by God just as if I've never sinned. I think we need to say that again. Amen. By the blood of Jesus, I'm justified, acquitted, not guilty, made righteous, treated by God as if I've never sinned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my word. My word. Okay, we're nearly there. I could go on all night, but we're going to deal with three more. I am sanctified. Sanctified. Hebrews 13, 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. See, the word sanctified means made holy, set apart. In the Old Testament, any sacrifice had to happen away from the people, outside the gate, away from the people. That's why Jesus had to be crucified, taking on the sin of the world outside, away from the people. Why? Because God says you are now set apart from sin. It's nowhere near you. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed every sin from you. You are sanctified. You are set apart and you are now holy. The word sanctify is also made holy, right? You are a saint. That's where we get the word saint from. You are not a sinner any longer. If you have given your life to Jesus, you are not a sinner any longer. Your nature has changed. You are now a saint, a holy one, set apart for God's purpose, for God's use. That's who you are, all right? And you've got to see anything that you struggle with is not part of you. That's part of the problem of why some of you struggle. Whatever you struggle with, if it's pornography, you are not your porn. You are not that. That's not you. That's a demon. Get it off like a cockroach. Get it off you. It's not part of who you are. That's not you. I don't care what you struggle with. You are sanctified. You are holy. That's your nature. You now have the divine nature of Jesus Christ himself living inside of you. Right? Doesn't mean you won't struggle. It means you'll hate it. You won't want to sin. You will hate it. And God will empower you by his Spirit. If you see yourself as holy, you're going to act holy. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So he is. Amen? Amen. So let's declare it, okay? Let's declare it. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm sanctified, made holy, a saint, set apart from evil. For God's purposes. Number six, I am healed. I am healed. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. The New Testament says, by his stripes, we were healed. When Jesus went to the cross, the Hebrew word for grief and sorrow there is physical sickness and emotional affliction. When he went to the cross, he took on every disease. They said he was unrecognizable as a man, because of the beatings and everything he went through. But also remember, he took on every sickness, every disease, every infirmity. He took it on. He went through absolute hell, excruciating agony, where he was beaten and his flesh was ripped off as payment for our healing. Now, I know there's many of us in this room that have prayed for healing and have not seen it, right? Many of us. But do not ever change the word of God to match up with your experience. You continue to declare that word and declare that word until your experience comes up and suddenly you're living in line with what the word of God says. I have seen phenomenal healings. I've also had phenomenal disappointments. I just lost a very close friend who I believe with everything in me. You know, but the Holy Spirit said to me, she fought the fight of faith, Debbie, and won because she never doubted for a moment the word of God that she'd be healed. She marched into heaven and everyone stood and applauded because she fought the fight of faith and won. And I don't know about you. I want to go into heaven in faith. In faith. So come on, let's start to stir ourselves up. Any part of you, who stand up if you've got any sort of physical illness in your body. Right, stand up. All right. So when we say, when we declare, right, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, I want you to add what you are struggling with, okay? By the blood of Jesus, I am healed of, and I want you to start to say it. All right, we're going to have opportunity at the end, you know, to lay hands on you, but I'm in faith and I believe that your confession alone can shift things. Your confession alone can do it, okay? By the blood of Jesus, I am healed of, on the count of three. One, two, three. By the blood of Jesus, I am healed of. Say it. By the blood of Jesus, I am healed of. Say it. By the blood of Jesus, I am healed of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We release your healing anointing now. Father, touch everybody, every physical body. Lord, we come against every demon spirit of affliction, sickness, disease, and infirmity with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I rebuke you. I declare the healing power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, by your stripes, everything that needed to happen for that healing of mine in my body, it was done when you went to the cross, when your blood was shed, when your body was ripped apart by whippings. You purchased for me my healing and I'm taking it now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Okay, sit down. We've got one more. And I think this is the most important. By the blood of Jesus, I can boldly enter into the presence of God. I can boldly enter into the very presence of God. To receive, the Bible says, grace and mercy. And there's a difference. Grace is the ability to do what I can't do. How many of us need grace to do stuff that we know we cannot do in the natural? You know, there is stuff that I desperately needed the grace of God for because I couldn't do it in the natural. I just couldn't do it. But the grace of God, he says, come boldly into my presence. Jesus is there waiting. Yeah. Father God's there waiting like, Debbie, what do you want? I need grace. I need grace to do, you know, I wasn't a brilliant student, but praise God, he just got me through on a scholarship because I was a single, my mum was single mum and I couldn't have gone to university without a scholarship. I look back and I think, my goodness, the grace of God, because I didn't deserve that. I couldn't. What's mercy? Mercy is giving you a second chance that you don't deserve. And there's some of you in this room, you need mercy today. And God say, come before me. I'll give you mercy. I'll give you what you don't deserve. I'll give you the second chance. I'm the God of the second, the third, and the fourth chance. Just come into my arms. Just come and let me embrace you. So just with our eyes closed for a moment, I want you to come into the presence of God. Come right into the throne room and just see him there. And he says, what do you want? Do you need grace? Do you need mercy? Do you need both? Come boldly in, because you're my son, you're my daughter, and the blood has opened the door. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We are forever grateful. How can we ever say thanks for what you've done and what you provided? But Lord, from now on, we declare we're going to apply the blood of Jesus to everything. Everything, all the time. Enemy, look out, because we're coming for what is rightfully ours. We're coming for our family members. We're coming for our friends. We're coming for everything that God wants for us to have to extend his kingdom. Thank you, Lord. As Father, I thank you that your blood gives us the ability, the efficiency, and the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the enemy. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.